try again.
All right, good Tuesday evening. Tuesday night, that means one thing. Double L on Kayak Fishing Radio. We got a good show lined up for you tonight, so we're going to get to the business, and then we're going to get to the show real quick. First off, as always, I'm still in Florida, so I got to say hello to my lovely wife in Virginia. Chris, what's going on up north?
We're like a heat wave. It's a heat wave
really?
Up here. Oh, yeah. We're in the upper 60s, and tomorrow it's supposed to be in the mid-70s.
Awesome. Very nice. Of course, the winter that I'm not home, it's nice at home. Last winter, it was freezing at home. I guess I see how that works out. Yeah, it's been unseasonably warm, even for Florida standards, everybody's been telling me down here. So that's good. I saw you got your old whipping stick out today and was doing a little practice with the fly rod, huh?
I sure did. We're going to the fly fishing festival in April. I better get a little bit more practice in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Awesome. Anything else exciting going on up there? You heard anything good in the fishing world or been kind of quiet? I know that
the striper are still here. The striper are still here.
Yeah, if it stays that warm, no reason for them to go anywhere.
I also had hit or miss reports of speckled trout in both the ditch and Rudy, but nothing consistent, very much hit or miss. Also,
right.
A report of a school of black drums.
Oh, okay. Yeah, juveniles in the winter. I've seen them in Rudy in the past, so that's not uncommon. You don't see a lot of them up that way. Kind of the same black drum that people target down here, the smaller black drum. Pretty cool. Very cool. Well, it looks like we got a full chat room over here tonight. Chip Gibson's in there, Dee Dee Olson, Fishing Be Right Back, Tom Matau. Did I say it right this time? I'm going to get yelled at again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got Craig Crisp. We got Chuck Rent. Wow, we got a list over there. Well, everybody in the chat room, I'm not going to run through it all so we can keep moving, but thank you for tuning in tonight. Get your questions ready for Mr. Yak Attack himself is here tonight. We got a lot to talk about. As always, before it's coming up closer and closer every week, we got the boondoggle in about 3 weeks now, I believe it is, correct? Yeah, the President's Day weekend. Everybody, we've been talking about it, so if you don't know by now, then you must be living under a rock or something. But the boondoggle will be President's Day weekend in Chokoloskee, Florida, where today my fellow native crew members who are on a tour of Florida, which I'll get to in a minute. Anyway, they fished down there today with Mr. Richard Jones of Everglades Kayak Fishing, and they had some snook, redfish, trout. They had a great day down there. So for all you guys that are heading down on the February 17th through the 20th into Chokoloskee, get ready, because it seems like fishing must be doing very good and probably only going to get better. But Rich put them guys on some nice fish today. Woody, who doesn't even fish from native, caught his first redfish today down there. So if Woody can do it, anybody can do it. He was pretty funny on my trip. So, but anyway, boondoggle, you can go to kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And get all your information there. Book your trip. And get on down. Everybody's getting pretty excited. Unfortunately, we won't be making it, but I'm looking forward to hearing the reports and everything come back from that trip. So speaking of trips to Florida, working down here for the past X amount of months, I had an opportunity this past weekend to tag up with some of the people from Native. They're doing some filming, making a tour through Florida. They started on the Upper West Coast, working their way around and coming back up the East Coast. So I, with a lot of persuasion, got to travel out there to the West Coast on Saturday and Sunday and fished in Tampa with Neil Taylor from Strike 3. It's kind of windy on that day, so we didn't get a lot of fishing in. We got a lot of good filming in, a lot of what do you call it, tips and techniques from the on the water, and then we went to a place called Bill Jackson's. I don't know if anybody in here in the chat room or anybody that's called in has ever been to Bill Jackson's before, but it's an outdoor store in Tampa. The place has an indoor ski slope so you can try out your skis. That's how big it is. They got a pool. It's just crazy. Anyway, it's set in the woods. It's on a lake, so if you want to try a kayak, they put it in the water right then and there for you. Very cool place. We did some rigging inside the store, filmed that, and then we drove from there down to Sarasota, and we left. We went to Sarasota that night, got up bright and early that morning, and met up with Steve Gibson and Southern Draw, and we went out and fished a grass flat in the middle of an open bay. Caught a lot of, gosh, I caught more ladyfish than I could. I don't want to see another ladyfish for a while. There was ladyfish everywhere, but we also got into some speckled trout and some Spanish mackerel. And again, we did a lot of filming, got to hook up with a couple of other fellow native kayakers. They kind of put it out there, let everybody that was in the area that paddled a native wanted to join us. So it was really cool. It was awesome. I spent a lot of butt time, either butt in the car or butt in the boat all weekend, but it was a good trip. So definitely nice to see that part of the state. I've never been over there, never got to fish or anything in that region. And then they moved on down. They went to Fort Myers, where I heard they caught some fish. And then today, like I mentioned earlier, they fished down there with Rich Jones with the Everglades kayaking, and they had a great day. So now they're going to work their way across the state, I believe, tomorrow. And then they're fishing with our very own D tomorrow, Thursday, excuse me. They're going to be fishing with D, and then they're moving up back up this way to Jacksonville and going to fish with Roger Bump in the Jax area. So they're making their rounds. Pretty cool. I'm not much on the filming and photography thing, so I don't like, I'm kind of camera runaway, but it was pretty fun, so I enjoyed it. All right, well, I think I've hit the big news. I want to get right to our special guest tonight because I think he's got a lot to talk about with us. We got Dee on the line. Hey, Dee, you in there?
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on? I just mentioned I didn't see you on there. I was still on the chat room screen. So you getting ready for Woody and them? I was just talking about that.
Absolutely. We have a couple girls coming out on Thursday, and I'm going to have my fiance Brian filming the filming crew, so it'll be really fun.
Yeah, you'll have a blast. We had a great time. I don't know if you've met the other guy that's with them, John Grace. He's a whitewater dude and film guy. He's really cool. Good time. It's quite fun. You got to make sure you give him a hard time, though, because neither of those two know anything about fishing. So all day long they were joking me, like, what kind of jig head are you using? They didn't even know what a jig head was when we started. So,
I'm with you. Met them before.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But it made
good
it nice.
Guys.
It was cool to. Yeah, great guys. Very cool. Well, good deal. All right, so we're going to get to our guest tonight, and let's see what's going on with him and everything at Yak Attack. Luther Cyphers is our guest tonight. Everybody who's in here probably knows about Yak Attack. If you don't, by the end of tonight, you will. And if you have rigged a kayak or thinking about rigging a kayak, you pay attention real close because Luther has everything you need to spoof up your kayak, get it ready for everything from safety to things to make your fishing trips more enjoyable. I've been hanging around and using Luther's products basically since he was out, and it's hard to believe. I was talking to Luther before the show. In June of last year, he had lights. That's all he had. And if you go look at his website now, the amount of product and the amount of things that company has done is just incredible. I've seen a lot of products in my time in the kayak fishing come and go, gimmicky things and stuff that people come out with. You think, well, that's pretty nice, but everything that Luther does, he knocks it out of the fence. And I'm not saying that just because he's a guest here tonight or anything like that. He is definitely, he thinks it all the way through. His products are just, and they fit everything. And that's what I think is really good about what Luther is doing, is his products are for kayaks in general. It doesn't stick to a brand or a style. He makes it work for everything. So, Luther, you in there? You still with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark.
Hey, man, what's going on? All right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and get right to the topic here tonight. So let's talk a little bit about this, how you got started in all this and what got you into the business of accessorizing kayaks.
Yeah, sure thing, man. I have a friend of mine, Bob Foljam, and he's actually responsible for me getting into a kayak, period. We used to go down and do a trip at the Outer Banks, and we would go out and fish from the surf trying to catch sharks. And always trying to get a little bit bigger shark. You know, it's pretty easy to get the small one. So, you know, we kept trying to get baits out farther and farther. And on one of those trips, Bob had stumbled across, I think it might have been on Pier and Surf, that some of the guys were using kayaks to get baits out a little bit farther. So he went and got a kayak, and we went on our trip there, and we used it for that. Didn't really fish out of it too much then, and the kayak ended up sitting around in his basement for about a year, and then he found Jim and Tina Shank, and they took him out and showed him how to fish out of it, and he got hooked, you know. So he was like, hey, man, you got to get a kayak. You got to get a kayak. You got to get a kayak. And he kept on me for a few months, and finally I found Appomattox River Company had a Hobie Outback up there that was a demo boat. So I said, well, you know, I'll try it. And, you know, put the boat in the water out at York River, launched over there under the bridge, paddled halfway across the river, dropped a line, caught a croaker, you know, picked up the phone, called my wife and said, you know, when I get home, you know, I'm going to get one of these for Tyler, my son. And never look back. You know, that's the neat thing about fishing from a kayak. Once you've done it, once you've experienced it, you know, you're immediately, you know, part of that, you know, that club, that people who have experienced it. There's not too many people who experience it and then get away from it. So, right. You know, that kind of got me into the fishing part. And then just necessity, I guess, is where the rest of it came from. You know, I've been designing products and machines and stuff like that for, you know, 15 years, something like that. So, you know, as we got out and started doing different types of fishing, night fishing, you know, that was around here. That's a kind of a natural lead-in. So we started going out at night and looking around at the different lights and stuff that were out there. Just, you know, there's some good stuff out there, but not exactly what we were looking for. So, Bob actually prototyped the first VisiPole. It wasn't at the time. There was no Yak Attack. There was no product. It was it was just a homemade light. But he did a really good job with it. Bob has a design background as well, and you know, we used to work together building machines for manufacturing, and we had this thing where we always kind of one up each other, you know, little friendly competition. So we kind of started going back and forth. And before we know it, we had something that, you know, we thought a lot of people were asking about the lights and stuff. So we thought, you know, why not try to, you know, make a little extra money on the side? And who knows, maybe turn this thing into a, you know, a little business. At that time, we had no idea it would really turn into a business. But, you know, we sold quite a few of those first VisiPoles, enough that we were able to go back and tool up the Carbon Pro. And that really, really took off. And from there, you know, started getting more involved. One of the things that's really nice about the stage that kayak fishing is in, it's still a rapidly growing sport, but, you know, everybody kind of knows everybody. You know, it's a lot of, you know, camaraderie and a lot of direct, you know, communication, you know, with the customers and stuff. I get a lot of calls. You know, I take calls, you know, every day from people that I don't know. So there's a lot of discussion, and from my own experience on the water, and then when people communicate, you know, the things that they want to solve on their kayaks, that's where most of these ideas come from. You know, we get a lot of compliments on, well, you know, you guys really solved this problem, but so much of it comes from the kayak fishing community itself. That's what we're here to do, is to solve the problem. So that's kind of how it started. That's kind of how it got to where it is now. And, you know, we're just looking forward to seeing where it goes from here.
So you say, like, so you started with your lights, and then what got you into, like, now you've got your Mighty Mounts and all of that. So was that more of the rigging problems again, too, just making it so it was easier to rig boats in general, not just make something one-sided for one brand or something? So is that kind of where you went from there?
Yeah, I mean, the Mighty Mount, actually the very first prototype of the Mighty Mount, the very first prototype wasn't an independent mount. It was a a stabilizer, I guess you could say, to attach things to tracks. That was really kind of where we were headed with it. And, you know, one of the nice things about having the tools of the trade, you know, my other company, that's what I do. I design products for, you know, different industries. So I have the all the tools, you know, to do rapid prototyping and things like that. So, you know, I prototyped this little, it was like a little slider almost. And, you know, it kind of throughout a single evening, it progressed from that to, oh, well, you know, if we add a hole here, we can, you know, we can attach this. And if we do, you know, it just kept growing until finally it was like, well, why not put four holes in the corner? And then you could use it as a standalone mount. One of the really interesting things about the Mighty Mount was my thought at the time was, okay, you know, people probably use this to, you know, put things on tracks, but, you know, maybe in a year or 2 years, you know, maybe people actually, you know, embrace it as a standalone mount. And, you know, it shows how much I know, because by far we sell more of these as standalone mounts than we do anything. I mean, immediately, right out the gate, you know, people are like, oh, this will fit, you know, where something else won't. And so that's kind of got that started. And then, you know, then the next logical step is, well, what can we attach to it? And, you know, with the GoPro era, you know, people filming and things like that, you know, we developed the Panfish and Panfish portrait mounts. And, well, we had the Carbon Pro at that time already. So, you know, it was kind of a natural thing to make that fit the Mighty Mount. And then we had a lot of people, you know, go to shows and stuff that, you know, just flat out asked us, you know, when are you guys going to make a track? You know, because I'd like to be able to, you know, attach some of this stuff on my kayak, you know, and be able to adjust it, move it around and things like that. So, you know, then the gear track came. So, yeah, each step has been, it's been really, I guess the development has been pulled by the needs that are out there more than, you know, us develop something and then try to push it.
Right. So what's the gear track?
And that's what we try very, very hard to do.
So give us a little bit like the gear track. So what is that exactly for those who maybe don't know or whatever? So what exactly is the gear track?
So the gear track, it's an aftermarket add-on track system. One of the things that happens, you know, with a lot of people is, you know, you've got a lot of people who like to fly fish out of a kayak, but they may also like to film, or they may also like to, you know, go out in open water and troll and do different things. And, you know, one of the things that happens when you get a lot of mounts and stuff up on the deck, it can kind of interfere with other things you're doing. And with some of the mounts, depending on how you do things, you can kind of paint yourself into a corner to where you're rigged a certain way, and that's kind of, you know, you kind of bottle yourself up to having limited options. So with the gear track, you know, as long as you have the available deck space, you can attach the track to the kayak, and then you have the ability to configure your kayak from one outing to another. Michael Geyer and I recently rigged a 135 that he has, and we wanted to show like what you could do, you know. So we went way overboard. We put all this stuff on it. I mean, I don't even know how you'd fish out of it. But what was really interesting was at the end, we did a segment, and we haven't put this on YouTube yet. It'll be coming up pretty soon. But we did a segment where we stripped it down to nothing. Nothing but tracks and Mighty Mounts, which aren't going to hang a fly line, you know. And
right.
It was, I think it was like less than a minute and a half, you know, something like that, that we had this thing from like all these camera mounts and Carbon Pros and rod holders down to basically a stripped down kayak within a couple of minutes. And so not only do we have that ability, but also we could then reconfigure it just as quickly for a different type of outing. You know, and I think a lot of people, that's attractive because, you know, they don't fish the exact same thing every single day. So that versatility, you know, that's what we're after. It's really hard to, you know, to solve every single need, you know, if you try to design things that are very, very targeted and very, very specific. But if you can, you know, I use the term kayaking Legos or rigging Legos. You know, if we can do that, then people can build what they want. And, you know, we're not under the illusion that we have the best answers for how to go out and, you know, rig your kayak for catching redfish or how to rig your kayak for, you know, fly fishing. But if we give people enough options, they can definitely accomplish that. And that's kind of what we try to do.
Right. Very cool. So what's the future going? Tell me something about the future. I know you're always working over there. Sometimes you amaze me because I think you probably need to slow down because it seems like as soon as you hit something, something else comes out of the box. So what's going on in the future? Anything you can tell us about? Anything good coming up?
Well, the most exciting thing right now, for me anyway, we're working on a crate cover. And, you know, we want to get into tackle management and gear management on the kayak. That's kind of a, you know, next logical step for us. So our first product is going to be a crate cover. It'll be a little bit different than the other crate covers that have been out there. You know, we have a kind of a standing philosophy that if we can't offer an option, you know, we don't need to just go out there and, you know, duplicate, you know, or just, you know, water down, you know, the market that much more with another of the same, you know. So we try to be, you know, if we can't be innovative and offer a clear option to people, then that means that the needs are already being met and we don't need to, you know, we don't need to get involved with that. So we're definitely going to do some things different. And probably the part that's the most exciting to me is when we started it, because it's fabric, you know, it's webbing, it's plastic clips, it's all these things that are mass produced, used in a bunch of different industries. And whenever you have that, inevitably it's imported. You know, textiles have, in the last 15, 20 years, basically evacuated this country. You know, it's all over, and most of it's in Asia. But so I was pretty certain that, you know, we were going to be stuck with using some imported materials. Of course, we're going to sew it here in Farmville, but, you know, I pretty much resigned to we were going to have no choice as far as the materials were concerned. But I've been very, very surprised. So far, we found every single component domestically. So what we believe we're going to be able to produce is a crate that's, you know, 100%. If not 100%, it'll be 95% domestic components sewn domestically. Perfect. You know, and that's really important. It's important to us. It's important to me. It's more important than price to me. You know, we've been, you know, people have put some pressure on us. Hey, you know, $85 lighter, you kidding me? You know, come on, guys. You know, but at the end of the day, that's what it takes to do business here. And, you know, we're not going to compromise on it. You know, sometimes we can do things, you know, and be really, really economical, like with the Mighty Melt, for example. We do that domestically as well, but we're able to, you know, produce a really affordable, very, very competitive part. And then some things, when it's labor intensive and you do it domestically, it just costs a little bit more. And that's just, it's not optional for us. So it was really, really cool.
But you're also getting a product too, though, that's worthy of, so when cost comes to something like that, I mean, if you're not scrimping it, and you do not scrimp. So, I mean, I don't see where that's an issue. So
Well, that's right, Mark. And at the end of the day, you forget about the extra $20 long, 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 you know, before you have to deal with the, you know, if there's a quality, you know, poor quality or, you know, or if there's some feature that's missing. You know, you forget a Carbon Pro that collapses every time you use it. You know, after the third time, you've forgotten about the $20. But every time you take it off the boat and collapse it and throw it in the back of the truck, it's like, you know, the value is still there.
Right.
Exactly. And between that and, you know, we stand behind, you know, we stand behind our products. Every company says that. Most companies do that. I think we take it to the next level. We have a warranty policy out there. I don't even know if I've ever looked at it. You know, my policy is if you have a problem, come let us know about it and we'll take care of it. You know, that's just how we operate. So there's a lot of value that comes with it. You know, we're definitely very conscious of what value is. You know, getting a good return on, you know, what you put into something. I can't tell you how many things I've bought that I've had to buy twice or you know, had to get another, try another brand or whatever, and that stuff adds up really quickly.
Right, and I used to use the example all the years I worked in the tackle shop when people would look at, you know, reels and stuff, and I'd be like, well, you can cry once and buy something that'll last you if you take care of it, or you can cry 3 and 4 times every time you come in here and buy that $30 reel again and again and again when you've already
Right. Basically,
you just bought that reel that you cried about the first time when I showed it to you, but you wouldn't be back in to see me, so just gotta pick your own battles when it comes to that one. So, yeah, you're definitely right on track there. It's worth to spend a little more and get the product that you want, and especially for all of us in the fishing. I mean, especially for the saltwater bunch, but not just us. But, I mean, you got to get something that's going to hold up to that. And I can attest that my Carbon Pro has been in and out of that bag and put together and taken apart I don't know how many times, and it's still like the day I got it. So it definitely hits the mark on that. There was something else we had talked about before we went on the show. You wanted to mention about your Yak Attack forums. You want to give us a little story about that, or let us know about that? And I know that's something you want to get to the consumers with. So what's about the Yak Attack forum?
Yeah, so maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we started a new forum. The difference between this forum and all the others, it's not really, you know, it's not intended to, you know, take the place of, you know, local forums to put fishing reports and things like that. What we're really trying to create is a place that people can come talk about kayak rigging. You know, of course, Yak Attack products, but also, you know, rigging problems in general. You know, we're going to try to help solve the problem when we can, if we have a solution for it. But even outside of that, I think just having a central place that's, you know, that's dedicated to, you know, I'll go out on a limb and say the art of kayak rigging, because a lot of the stuff that people are doing out there, this, you know, the do-it-yourself sector of the sport is so, you know, it's so ingrained into the sport. And some of the things that come out of that are just absolutely incredible. People say that we've done some stuff that's got some ingenuity. I mean, I can, you know, in 10 minutes, I can browse a couple of forums and show you some stuff that, you know, makes me feel bad, you know. So there's a really heavy focus in the sport on rigging, and we want a place that people can come to and just talk about that. And of course, we want to try to, you know, participate in the discussion, you know, when we can. If we have a solution for it, we definitely want to, you know, present it, but also we want to be there to listen. If there's rigging problems out there that people are saying, hey, somebody needs to step up to the plate here and solve this, then, you know, that's where we want to try to step in and help out. So, yeah, it's yakattackforums.com. And
I will put that in our show notes.
I'm not a forum moderator, so it's kind of – it's a little bit comical if you could see what's happening on my end right now. Like, I've pushed buttons that I didn't know what they did. So, you know, you have to be patient. It takes a little bit of time. We had a lot of problems with spammers in the beginning, so we've got that fixed. But it'll take a day or so to get confirmed, but it's already, there's a lot of really good content there, and I think as you know, more people, you know about it and it becomes kind of a go-to place for rigging, you know, that's what we want, is a place that you can just go no matter what your problem is, no matter what you're trying to solve, and do some research or put up a post and get that problem solved.
Very cool. All right, well, we've got it up on the chat room now. We'll put it in the show notes afterwards too. How about the stakeout pole, the push pole, or, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know it's funny this weekend down here, as you see a lot of different people, different technique, you know, different things they use for keeping their everything. Where I've been fishing down here in Florida, I don't think I've seen any more than 4 foot of water the whole time I've been down here. So, how about a little bit about your stake it?
Yeah, the parking pole. It's actually been surprisingly, to me anyway, it's one of our best selling and most commented on products. A good chunk of the reason for that. Personally, I had not used the stakeout pole very much at all, but Chad Hoover, he's the one who came to me with the, hey, you know, we need to do something here. And, you know, are you interested in taking a look at it? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, what do you have? So, you know, what we were after was a floating stakeout pole, but also something that you could invert and use as a push pole. And, you know, really lightweight for the kayak, lightweight so it would float, and something that, you know, would you know, really last a long time. I think there are some really good products out there now. It's probably one of the reasons I didn't expect, you know, that we would make such an impact on the market, because there are some very, very good products out there now. But they're all a little bit different. So, you know, we filled a niche of a very, very stiff pole, so it's good for poling. And I think for kayaks, a stiff pole works really well anyway. And then also the floating aspect. So, yeah, it's been really good. The next step, we get people on us all the time about, hey, you know, when do we get the 6-footer or the 7-footer? Well, I'm sorry, we've got the 6. When do we get the 7 or the 8-footer? And that's the next step. The problem we have with an 8-foot stakeout pole is it costs $30 to ship it. So, yeah, you know, and then it just gets really, really difficult. And then you're shipping to retailers, and then they have to ship it to customers. So it gets really difficult, but we're working on a design. Actually, I kind of dropped this a little bit last time I was on KFR, that we'll be able to kind of break the stakeout pole down. We're not using the same method we use with the Carbon Pro. That wouldn't work for a stakeout pole. But we will be able to, you know, you'll be able to go out with a, you know, 12 foot push pole, you know, in the milk crate. So that's kind of one of those what's coming next.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Look forward to hearing more about that when it comes out. All right, we touched on it. How about your? I know you're involved with some other organizations. You have a tournament you put on every year. Want to give us a little heads up on that too?
Yeah, sure. So we've I think it's 4 years now. We've done a freshwater tournament out here in Central VA. We got a couple of really, really good bass fisheries that are, you know, within a, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute drive. And when this tournament first started, the intention was more of a social, you know, kind of getting a lot of people together from different clubs and things, and, you know, just kind of a focus on hanging out at the campsite and, you know, the pig picking and that kind of stuff. And that's still how it is. It's still competitive. We had a ton of prizes last year. It was just unbelievable. Tina Shank, she manages the tournament for us. She's done an incredible job of growing it. We expect actually probably at least double again this year. But, yeah, it's a good time. We do Friday night. A lot of people camp out. We've got basically it's a field. You know, we get the shelter set up there. We've got a grill out there, a smoker. And Friday night we do ribs and ribeyes. Yak Attack provides all that. And unfortunately I cook it too. So, you know, enter at your own risk. And then while everybody's, you know, starting to wind down for the evening, we put a pig on the smoker, and he cooks for about, you know, 18 hours, something like that. So I'm kind of tending the pig while everybody's out fishing, and by the time everybody gets off the water and we do the photo weigh-in, we've got a spread of food out there that it's something to behold. It's really, really – my wife helps out, Vicky. She makes a lot of stuff, and – It's really quite a spread. So we have a great time. Like I said, the focus,
and
the primary focus of that tournament is the time at headquarters, you know, at the campsite, after the fishing. That's where we put most of the focus on. Even though there's a ton of prizes, and obviously the guys and gals who are competing, you know, they're very serious about that. But our focus is on the camaraderie side of it. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, you know, the whole point of the thing is to raise some money for a, you know, really good cause. I think most people know about Heroes on the Water. It was really cool. I was out today and I saw a Heroes on the Water bumper sticker on a car I didn't recognize, so that was kind of cool. They've done some amazing things. I had a had the privilege of speaking with a gentleman out in, I think he's in Louisiana, recently, and he hasn't been involved with the Heroes in the Water program, but he told me his story. He's an injured vet. You know, he's been through a lot, and basically he says kayak fishing saved his life. You know, and he told me the story, and it was the parallels between what these guys at Heroes on the Water are doing and the story that he told. It just shows that they're absolutely on the right track, and there's definitely something to the therapeutic side of fishing and specifically kayak fishing. So we're really proud to be involved with that as well.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate your support. Our future plans is to have a house show on here. I'd like to get Mr. Jim Dolan and a couple other chapter leaders, and we'd love to have you back on that show also to kind of share some of your stories and some of the things that you've seen and dealt, you know, with the house stuff. So that would be great. I want to try to backtrack because we also do a podcast of this show. So people who aren't here at podcast, there were some questions that came up, and you answered them on the chat room, and now I'm trying to figure out where they were, just so we could ask them out loud, so anybody that might be podcasting this. So someone mentioned that they found on their existing RAM mount and learned that it'll work. Well, you answered it already. So you want to touch on that, and then there was another question that I'd like to go over on the air, so if somebody listening might have the same question, they can get the answer to that. So what was that about the RAM that was asked earlier in the chat room?
I'm not sure I answered that. Could someone else?
Yeah. Okay. The question was, what is it now? Oh, gosh.
They're moving fast.
Yeah, they're moving fast. Hold on a second. Will the RAM work with the HDS-5?
The HDS-5, that's a camera?
I believe. I don't know. That's why. And then somebody answered, yeah, I just wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah, I mean, our camera mounts have the thread on the camera ball is a standard tripod 1/4-20 thread. So any camera that has a standard tripod thread, you can just screw the ball right onto the bottom of the camera. The only camera that I know of that doesn't come standard with a tripod thread is the GoPro, and they have a little adapter. And actually, some of the kits you get, the adapter comes in it. But I know with the GoPro, because they have that little pivot mount, you know, so they can make it really efficient for attaching the helmets and different things. You do have to have an adapter for it. But all the rest of the cameras, the little camera ball screws right into the bottom of it.
All right, cool. And that's for both of, and I guess everybody's talking about for the panfish and the portrait. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yep, the panfish, that's the longer mount. It's 28 inches. And it has a pivoting. The mast is sectioned into two pieces with a friction connection between the two. So the top half of the mast will pivot independently of the lower part, so that you can pan it in different directions, kind of point it at the action, you know, so to speak. And then the panfish portrait is basically the same thing, except it's really short. It's a six. Well, depending on how you have it configured, it can be from about 4 to about 6 or 7 inches tall. And the head on that pivots so that without having to loosen anything up, you can rotate it, you know, 360 degrees. So you can access your LCD, set a delay timer, you know, spin it back around and pick up your fish and get a good, you know, good picture of you holding the fish. Yeah, without trying to hold the camera in one hand and the,
right,
you know, fish in the other. Personally, the fish that I catch are usually small enough that I can get the fish in the frame. But for some of you, you know, some of the other guys, you know, you got to have that full shot to get the, you know, the head all the way from the head to the tail fin. So, yeah,
okay,
for me, unfortunately, you know,
here,
I just hold the fish
of a longer. I'm trying to avoid this thing.
It says any plans for a taller panfish mount?
Yeah, no, not exactly. we've given this a lot of thought. And matter of fact, I was just discussing this earlier today with Dee. We've given this a lot of thought, and there's definitely a need, but I'm not sure that we can, at least at this time, solve the need in a way that would make it worthwhile to to tool up and fit all the different scenarios, because everybody has a little bit different way that they want to, you know, use it. Some people want something that's really, really rigid. You know, they get up high and be really, really rigid. Some people want something they can get up really, really high and be able to collapse it back down. And it's a pretty wide range of problems that we would be trying to solve there. And the bulk of the market right now for us is people that are sitting down that are shooting the camera over their shoulder. So as far as a canned product, as far as a, you know, off the shelf, this is made to go to, you know, 6 feet. We're not working on that. But out of the conversation earlier today with Dee, I think we have a really good kind of a do-it-yourself spin on how to get, you know, a taller camera mount using some of the Yak Attack products, or maybe not. I mean, there's ways you could probably accomplish it without it. That's something we're going to be working on, putting a video or something together to show how to do that in the very near future. You know, for us, we definitely want to solve problems, and we want to be, you know, as a company, we want to be the company that people turn to, you know, when there's a problem to solve. But sometimes solving the problem's going to be, you know, more of a do-it-yourself type thing, or sometimes it's going to be a product that we can sell. Either way, it's all good. You know, we don't have to, you know, make a sale on every single, you know, problem that comes up, but we do want to be involved with the solution. You know, that's, we want to be part of helping to grow the sport, helping to provide options to the sport, and sometimes that's going to translate to providing, you know, the product off the shelf, and sometimes it's just going to translate to giving an idea to people so that they can go out and find a, you know, find a way to do it themselves.
Very cool. We got another. Can you talk? Redneck Kayaker wants to know, can you talk about the modular abilities of Yak Attack products?
Well, one thing we try to do with each new product, you know, I look at the rigging. You know, if you take all of kayak rigging, all the different types of, you know, tools and parts and things that you can use, I try to look at that as a kit. You know, I use the term rigging Legos. So when we develop products, whenever we can, you know, we want to make them work together, because we don't always have we haven't always thought of, you know, the different, you know, every single scenario that someone might want to solve. So we know that if we can make the different parts fit together, there's a much higher likelihood that people are going to be able to use them in a way that fits their need. A good example of that is the gear track. The first prototype of the gear track, the holes were spaced so that structurally, you know, it was a sound connection. That was the defining factor for how many holes we put in the space in between them. After going through, this is one of the reasons that, you know, prototyping is so important. You know, after going through that, we realized that we weren't very far off of the hole pattern in the gear track matching the hole pattern in the Mighty Mount. So we squeezed the hole pattern together just a little bit so that they match up. So now what we've got is we've got a gear track that you can attach to a kayak, you know, using self-threading screws, or if you want, you can use screws with nuts and washers on the back. But you can also take the gear track, throw the screws away, attach a Mighty Mount to the bottom side of it, put a screw ball on it, and now you have, basically using a RAM connector, you have an articulating platform. So
Right. That's
kind of, you know, every part that we produce, is to the extent that it's possible, we try to make them work together so that you have this kind of modular concept so that you can solve the problem the way you want to, not the way that, you know, we've said, oh, well, here's how you do a depth finder, or here's how you, you know, here's how you mount your rod holder. Here's a, you know, we want to kind of empower the angler to solve the problem in the way that suits their needs. So the only way we can do that effectively is to just give a lot of options with configurability.
All right, somebody talking about the dog bone. We haven't touched on the dog bone. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So yeah, we actually have two camera mount SKUs that are coming, or two new part numbers. One is the dog bone mount. We already sell the dog bone. It's basically a RAM extension arm, but we're going to have that packaged with a camera ball and the connectors, so that you can connect it to a Mighty Mount or Gear Tracks, or if you have a RAM ball mounted on your kayak, you can connect it to that. And it's basically, instead of a rigid, you know, vertical mast, it's an articulating mast, so you can put it at 45 degrees away from you. You know, you can get different angles. One of the coolest angles you can get with it, with most kayaks, is you can actually plunge the camera head underwater, because, you know, it'll articulate, you know, below the surface of the water. So that's something that probably in a week, something like that, we're working on getting some photos and stuff together for it, and then we'll be adding that to the lineup. And then another one is basically the dog bone with a panfish portrait packaged together. Something we found is that any of our accessories that attach to a Mighty Mount or that attach to Gear Tracks, they have a 1/4-20 thread in the bottom of them. Well, our camera ball is a 1/4-20 thread. So by taking a camera ball and putting a little bit longer thread on it, that means we can take any Mighty Mount accessory and attach a RAM ball to the bottom of it, and it becomes a RAM mount accessory. And what's really cool about that is if we take a dog bone, which has a RAM ball on the top, and then we take one of these, basically a camera ball with a long thread, and we put it in the bottom of a panfish portrait, well, now you can connect those two together, so that gives you even more, another axis of articulation, but also it gives you that extra, you know, 5 or 6 inches, so that you actually have a mount that's as tall as the panfish if you put them together, or you can break them apart and use the dog bone as a camera mount that articulates and use the panfish portrait out in front of you. So it's kind of a cool thing to have. You know, you can use them as two independent mounts, or you can put them together and get the heights for a, you know, more of a over-the-shoulder type shot.
Very cool. And everybody can find all of that at, give you a website.
Yeah, it's www.yakattack.us.
Okay, and we also want to, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's another thing that we're working on. Probably sometime early spring, we'll be launching a brand new website. Hopefully a good improvement over what we have now. Information a little bit easier to find, a little bit more thorough. You know, the difference is there's a professional writing this one, and I wrote that one, so it should be much better.
Very cool. We look forward to seeing that come out too. You have to let us know when it's up and running. I'm sure it won't take long for the word to spread on that, just like everything else. And again, we've got some people mentioning the Yak Attack forums. There's a link on our chat room for that, and we'll put that in the notes also. All right, so we'll wrap it up here. What, give us anything else you want to say, anything good to coming out? You got any last minute before we wrap this show up?
No, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. You know, the whole thing, being able to, you know, be involved with a sport like this, and, you know, it's one thing to go out there and try to get involved, but, you know, I can't even put into words what it means to for the Yak Attack brand and philosophy and the way we, you know, are doing business to be accepted the way it is. It's really, I can't really put it into words. It's very, very rewarding. I think sometimes, you know, we get maybe more, you know, warm comments and things than we even deserve. But we're very, you know, me personally, I'm very, very thankful for, you know, the place that the kayak fishing community has made for us.
You see the vision, and I think that's what all of us, I mean, I've said it before and I said it earlier tonight, not because you're sitting here. It seems like everything you do, you put your thought and time into it before you even release it to us, the public, and everything. So I think and having such a product that works with every boat, so to speak, is very nice, which brought me to something I thought of earlier. Do you get much feedback? How is the kayak community as far as the manufacturer? Do you work with anybody? Do you hear from them, or you just kind of do your own thing when it comes to that and then see how it plays out with the boats that are on the market?
No, we actually have quite a bit of discussion, you know, with the different manufacturers. You know, our Carbon Pro is distributed through the Hobie Network by Hobie now, something we're very proud of. My first kayak was a Hobie. You know, I'm a fan, so that's kind of really cool. But we work very well with, you know, there's no kayak manufacturer out there that we haven't worked well with, you know, given the opportunity. And we've talked to most of them. There's been a couple of times that, you know, we've had insight into things that, you know, were going on because they were interested in some compatibility. That's kind of a humbling thing, you know. Here we are, okay. The little fly on the wall, and you know, that you know, being shown that kind of respect is really cool. But yeah, I'm really proud of. We haven't made any. I don't even know if we have any competitors. You know, we have people who make competing products, but to the extent that we can. You know, we complement those products. You know, we haven't taken a hard approach with our competitors, and we've been able to work very, very well with the kayak manufacturers themselves. So, yeah, it's a really neat sport to be involved in. I'm not sure how many industries you could get into and have that kind of scenario. You know, where everybody's just, you know, kind of getting. All working towards improving the sport and getting some good stuff out there, and not as much, you know. I spent 12 years, I think, in automotive. Trust me, it's a little different.
Yeah,
it's quite a bit different.
No, I guess I'm sure everybody on that side of the. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say That's a really cool thing. You know, we work well with, so far, everybody.
Right. Well, and like I said earlier, that side of the fence isn't any different than this side. As the consumer, they see the need and they see that what you're doing is compatible with their product and whoever's. So, I mean, you know, you can't be blind. And, you know, the kayak industry in itself is small. It's not small per se, but everybody's out there is aware of what's going on. So, having something like you do, I think, you know, I was down here, I told you earlier on the phone down here in Florida and the shops that I've gone to and people are, you know, it's catching on everywhere and people see what's happening out there. So it's just, it's a great thing. So, you know, they'd be silly not to be looking into it if they're trying to rig and making it, like somebody said earlier, somebody that's making a product too that's do-it-yourself friendly too, instead of something that you got to get done from the factory or something like that. So it makes it nice for the people that want to buy a boat stripped down and fix it the way they want it. So I think that's the biggest thing for me and the stuff that you do is that it makes it, because people always ask me, you know, what kind of boat should I get or whatever, and I always steer them away from buying anybody's angler edition, because where the factory may put a rod holder or something on the boat might not be where you want it, but with somebody like yourself with the products you have, it makes it nice for somebody to buy a stripped down boat and go out there and rig it exactly the way they want it and what works for them, and not what somebody at a factory stuck in there just because that's their job to put a hole here and put a rod holder there. So I think that's
really... Mark, I tell you one testimonial that I'm waiting for, and it's going to take a while because the Gear Track hasn't been out very long, but you know, the hope is that if somebody does rig a kayak out with Gear Track so they can put their rod holders and things where they want them, my hope is that when they strip those off, that it's a selling point for the person buying the boat that it has the Gear Tracks on it, as opposed to being a detractor. Because, you know, if a boat's been heavily rigged, it's sometimes that makes it more difficult to sell because it might be rigged differently than the next person would want it to be. But, you know, that's one of the things we hope to accomplish is by having the Gear Tracks, well, you can do whatever you want. You know, there's this region of the kayak here that you can put things. You know, you can put them here, you can put them here. And I think generally most setups are pretty similar as far as that goes. But the exact placement or what you decide to put where, you know, that's what we're hoping is that, you know, I can't wait a year from now, maybe, I don't know, we'll get that email that says, hey, you know, I've pulled everything off. The guy's doing a completely different kind of fishing, but, you know, he was stoked that it had gear tracks on it.
Right. Very cool. Well, very nice. Well, thank you for your Tuesday evening time and sharing it with us and everything here. I think we've definitely touched upon all the finer points and what you got going on at Yak Attack. You guys keep up the great work over there. You've moved, too, in the last year or so, haven't you?
Yeah, we moved into a facility here in Farmville in September. So, yeah, it's a lot more space. Hopefully, I think it's probably enough space that if we continue to grow like we're growing, you know, it'll still keep us, you know, it'll still be all the space we need for a couple of years. So, yeah, that's been a really cool development.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, Luther. And like I said, anybody have any other questions or whatever, you can pop on over to the Yak Attack forum site and you can ask questions on there. As Luther told you earlier, he's getting on it when he can, so he'll be glad to answer anything you have over there. So with that being said, we're going to wrap this up. We're at our hour. I'd like to take the time to thank my sponsors, Hook One, Native Watercraft, Daiwa Fishing Equipment. Chris, how's it going over there? Are you about done monitoring all those people in the chat room? We've had a busy room over there tonight.
Yeah, very busy. Actually, I'm not sure if Luther is following close, but Tom Matush called you the Steve Jobs of kayak anglers.
What's that?
Mr. Matush called you the Steve Jobs of kayak anglers.
Well, I would say that falls into the category I was talking about earlier of comments we probably don't deserve, but I really appreciate it.
There you go. I won't make any comments about Steve's current condition, but okay.
Well, and then Justin was quick to point out Luther is still alive, and we're grateful for that.
That's right. Yes.
I'm very grateful for that, too. I think my kids would be, too.
Now he called you a visionary.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I tried to say it earlier, and I hope I was clear. A lot of the things that, you know, we end up putting out there came from, you know, they came from people contacting us and saying, hey, we need to solve this problem. So, you know, maybe we've done more than the, you know, just innovating. Maybe just the connection with the kayak fishing community has been the most valuable asset, because without that input, a lot of the times this stuff just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's, well, that's one thing about the community. As we can tell in this chat room, everybody's chimed in, and I owe this big room, I think, tonight to you. You've got a following right there. It shows in this chat room. So keep up the great work, Luther. We look forward to everything you got coming. And I'd like to say thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. We're going to wind this thing out. So everybody have a safe night. Don't forget to tune in Wednesday to Mark Wheeler, who we've had on the phone. We didn't get a chance to talk to Mark, but Mark's our Wednesday night host, the Landing Crew. And then we're going to be on Thursday night with Chip Gibson, who I'm sure all he's going to do is babble about the boondoggle. He's pretty excited, and he's got probably a lot to talk about with that coming up. Friday's the Wild West show with Spike and Ike, and then we'll bring it right back around next Monday to Redfish Chuck down there in Titusville. So everybody, once again, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to go check out the boondoggle. If you're thinking about going, you better get your stuff together because it's coming up quickly. And see you guys next Tuesday night. Not sure what we're going to do yet, but we'll hope to have something good for you to tune into. So for now, good night. Take care. And once again, thank you to everybody for tuning in.
Tight line.
Please hang up and try again.